way in the 21st Psalm, some people would call it the 21st division of the Psalm. It's easy to say chapter because the Psalms really don't divide into 150 divisions if you really know how the divisions work. We've covered that. But what we want to look at is today, Psalm 21, God will give civil magistrates for proper worship. Let's change it, or let's take it to this instance. God will give people, or will give someone to rule and administer his laws for proper worship. If you don't understand that God has magistrates, if you don't understand that God has kings, and that God has set up governors, and that God has set up all of these things, you'll think when there's an election that your president, or if you go in another country, the dictator or the king is in control of this world, then you don't really know the Bible. What you really got to understand is that God allows certain people for certain times to be in positions to do things, but he's still king. He's still eternal. And this psalm here is going to bring that out. Dree, if you will, I want you to go to Romans chapter 13 to set the table for this 21st Psalm. Romans 13, verse 1, if you will. Those that have your Bible, go ahead and turn to Romans 13, verse 1, so that we can start squeezing the juice out of this. It's very important that we get it. Give her a second. And what we're going to do when we're in Romans 13, if you got it, you can go ahead and read it, Ann. Romans 13 and 1 is setting the table for what we're looking at in Psalm 21. Read, please.
Let every soul be subject unto the higher powers, for there is no power but of God. The powers that be are ordained of God. Whosoever therefore resists the power, resists the ordinance of God.
I want you to understand, before we even go into this 21st Psalm, that there are orchestrations of administrations of government that has to be done, and it is set in order by God. Now, when mankind rules and he does it illicitly, which means illegally, I'm not talking about illegally to man. When we love God's word, we don't become Democrat. We don't become Republican. We don't become conservative. We don't become Marxist. Why is that, Ann? Because in the United States, we say our government is of the people and by the people. What did Romans 13 say the government is going to be set up by? Read, please, one more time.
Let every soul be subject unto the higher powers, for there is no power but of God. The powers that be are ordained of God.
Understand that it's not of the people by the people. It's of God by God. Without me going through the whole Bible, understand when God made Adam, Adam was in charge. Adam was king. Adam was Lord over the universe. He had dominion. He and his wife together, when they sinned, God kicked them out. Satan became the god of this world, and God used different people to administer justice in the world. If you look in your Bible, Genesis 9 and 6, it tells you if a man kills a man, if an animal kills a man, by man his blood shall be shed. He's in the image of God, which means God says, look, I run this world, but I'm putting man in charge to administer my judgment. When you read Exodus chapter 20 and you read through the 23rd, you will begin, 23rd chapter, you begin to see that God set up laws. He set up 10 commandments, and they were to be carried out by men. Daniel chapter 4, verse 25, Dree. I want to validate my point by one of the baddest men on the planet at his time. When I say this, Josiah, this man was king over everything that he wanted to be king over, and that he wasn't king over, he didn't go take it. His name was Nebuchadnezzar. What does the Bible say in Daniel chapter 4, verse 25? It's very pretty, because he had had a dream, and God was getting ready to strike him down because he had got too big for his britches. Let me say it like this for somebody listening in another country. He had gotten bigger than he really was. He began to see himself as if he was in control because he was in control, because his daddy died and left it. But what did God say to him in that dream? It was very beautiful.
That they shall drive thee from men, and thy dwelling shall be with the beast of the field. And they shall make thee to eat grass as oxen, and they shall wet thee with the dew of heaven. And seven times shall pass over thee, till thou know that the Most High rules in the kingdom of men, and gives it to whomsoever he will.
I'll break that down while Dre go to Daniel 5 and 21. What was happening? Nebuchadnezzar had got up on his, went out on his thing and looked around and, man, it's this great Babylon that I have built. I am somebody. As far as I can see, everything is mine. The women, the children, the animals, the country, and the kings too, Naomi. The kings are mine. If I want them dead, they dead. If I want them in chains, they in chains. I'm king. I'm bad. Well, God didn't like it. So God gave him a dream and let him know in that dream, I'm getting ready to cut you down. You're too big. You're like a big tree. Everybody come and get up under you. All the animals come and get under you. Everybody get their nourishment. I'm going to cut you down because you think you're bigger than you are. I'm the one that sets up government. I'm the one that set civil magistrates of kingdoms in control to control my earth. When you pray and you say, thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven, you think it's got to be a rapture. You think it got to bust the sky. God can't rule now. You're telling a damnable lie. He can rule now if you bow the will. If not, he can kill you and replace you. Daniel 5:21. Please read that, and then we can move into our lesson.
And he was driven from the sons of men, and his heart was made like the beast.
This is after God did what he was threatening to do. You see, people think God just makes suggestions and make idle threats. He's not the one. There are people in the street not like that, Andrina. And you don't think God, and you can't even hold him back, is just giving idle threats? Here, this man had got too big. And so God has struck him down. And now after God has raised him back to his normal and his good sense, he's going to testify. Let him testify without me interrupting.
He was driven from the sons of men, and his heart was made like the beasts, and his dwelling was with the wild asses. They fed him with grass like oxen, and his body was wet with the dew of heaven, till he knew that the Most High God ruled in the kingdom of men, and that he appoints over it whomsoever he will. And thou, his son, O Belshazzar, hast not humbled thine heart, though you knew all this, but hast lifted up thyself against the Lord of heaven, and they have brought the vessels of this of his house before thee, and thou and thy lords and thy wives and thy concubines have drunk wine in them, and thou hast praised the gods of silver.
Let me break this down. This man that God had done this to and brought him down to understand that I'm the one that put you in charge. It wasn't just because your daddy died. Now you got another descendant that's on the throne, and he's going to ignore me. He's going to treat me like I'm nothing. He's going to take vessels out of my tabernacle. At this time, they had a temple. Out of my temple. He's going to let his whores, well, concubines, drink out of him. And y'all going to have a party and make fun of me? You don't know me like that. So if you know the rest of the book of Daniel, that God struck him down, let him lose his whole kingdom without an arrow being shot, without a sling being thrown, a shot or anything. They dammed up the water and came into Babylon and took over that kingdom. The Bible teaches us that Paul said he desired prayers and intercessions and thanksgiving be made for all that are in authority, for kings, for leaders, and different ones. I hear people today say, number 45, not my president. I hear them say, Trump's not my president. There was some that said, Barack is not my president. There's some that say, Bush is not my president. Let me tell you about the word of God. It doesn't matter if Hillary would have got in there, whoever God lets get in that position, it's his world, and the powers that be are ordained of God. When you get a president that you don't like, that's wicked and ungodly, we get what we deserve many times. When you become wicked, you select a wicked person to be in charge. It's because you don't want what God wants. So what ends up happening is what you want, a lot of times God gives you to your detriment. Now we can go into the 21st Psalm and start tasting the juice in it. Read it, Dree.
To the chief musician, a psalm of David. The king shall joy in thy strength, O Lord, and in thy salvation, how greatly shall he rejoice. Thou hast given him his heart's desire, and hast not withholden the request of his lips. Salah. For thou preventest him with the blessings of goodness. Thou settest a crown of pure gold on his head. He asked life of thee, and thou gavest it him, even length of days forever and ever. His glory is great in thy salvation. Honor and majesty hast thou laid on him. For thou hast made him most blessed forever. Thou hast made him exceeding glad with thy countenance. For the king trusts in the Lord, and through the mercy of the Most High, he shall not be moved. Thine hand shall find out all thine enemies. Thy right hand shall find out those that hate thee. Thou shalt make them as a fiery oven in the time of thine anger. The Lord shall swallow them up in his wrath, and the fire shall devour them. Their fruit shalt thou destroy from the earth, and their seed from among the children of men. For they intended evil against thee. They imagined a mischievous device, which they are not able to perform. Therefore shalt thou make them turn their back, when thou shalt make ready thine arrows upon thy strings against the face of them. Be thou exalted, Lord, in thine own strength, so will we sing and praise thy power.
When you see this passage, do you read this passage and you read yourself into it? Like some people say, I love the Psalms. I read the Psalms. These Psalms were not particularly written for you. They weren't written to make you feel good. Not primarily. Because the Bible said, whatsoever things were written aforetime were written for our learning, that we through patience and comfort of the scripture might have hope. But the word, the Latin word comfort, comes from to come together with and to fortify. Or that means to strengthen. They are written as Psalms. We went to Psalms 19. The heavens declare the glory of God. The firmament showeth handiwork, and it shows you everything in the earth and the heaven. It brings glory to God. It speaks of God. The order, the plants, the differences in lifestyle show you something about God. It lets you know that man is not in control, but it doesn't teach you what it takes to be saved. It does not. It does not tell you who God is. It doesn't tell you his name. It doesn't tell you how to live with one another, but it speaks. But then it says in 19:7, the law of the Lord is perfect. It converts the soul. The testimonies of the Lord are sure. It makes wise the simple. The fear of the Lord is clean. It endures forever. The judgments of the Lord are right, and they are righteous altogether. And you can go and read the rest of it yourself. Then we read in the 20th on Thursday, that the name of the Lord is where the strength is. The name of the Lord is where protection is. Because the name of the Lord is where his power resides. It's not in Baal. It's not in Molech. It's not in Tim. It's not in Andrew. It's not in Rich. It's not in Bush. It's not in Duterte. It's in the name of God. The name speaks of the authority. God is the one that sets up civil magistrates so that people can worship him properly. It's hard to worship God as we should in a world that takes your freedom, in a world that, where they come in and rape your children, in a world where husband and wife fight against each other, one cheating on the other one cheating on the other, spending the money where it shouldn't be, war, and every time you go somewhere, somebody jacking your car. But the civil magistrate has a job. What's the job? Romans 13, let's go back to that. Because we rolling now. This thing is good. Because I want us to understand the Bible is for where we are. is for where we are. We ain't playing. This good stuff. This is one of the things that one of the last things I taught my son before he died, and he loved it, didn't he? Loved it, because he knew that the job that I have as a policeman is not to go kicking people's tail, it's not to go locking people up, it's to protect those that are being vilified, it's to protect those people's property, it's to defend the weak, it's to uphold the order of God. It's not my order, it's not Clayton County order, it's the order of God. So if somebody molesting a child, whatever it takes to stop it, that's my job, because I'm working as a servant of God. And when we learn this, and when this is taught to policemen, when this is taught to mayors and presidents, then we'll have the order of God like it should be, and worship could be righteous. Now let me get out of my anger and come back to my smooth voice. Go ahead and read, Dream.
Let every soul be subject unto the higher powers, for there is no power but of God. The powers that be are ordained of God.
I want you to just catch this one word, ordained. You have people talking about, I'm ordained. Are you ordained? God ordained civil magistrates. Those people serve as what you would call deacons or ministers of God when they're doing right. Read some more.
Whosoever therefore resists the power, resists the ordinance of God. And they that resist shall receive to themselves damnation.
Do you see he said that this power, this ordinance is set up by God? If you resist, you resist God. When a righteous law, a godly law, is enforced by your civil government, you're resisting God when you resist it. You are resisting, but if they tell you not to spank your child and your child need it, that's not an ordinance of God. That's the ordinance that man has imposed on God. Know your Bible. Read some more, because I don't want to teach this whole chapter right now. I'm in the 21st chapter of Psalm. Finish reading this, please.
For rulers are not a terror to good works, but to the evil.
Understand this, Andrew. I'm calling your name because I'm looking at you only. The only reason that the civil magistrate is supposed to exist is when people are doing evil, hurting, and being cruel to one another and stealing. You're supposed to terrify them. You're supposed to stop them from bringing terror to the innocent, and you're supposed to bring terror to them. You're supposed to bring God's righteous terror and judgment on the wicked so that those that are innocent can be free. The Bible just said it. It says rulers are not a terror to good works. That's what they're not a terror to, but to of good works, but to evil. That's why people still kill and walk the street. That's why people still stealing and walk, because nobody's scared that if I kill you, I'm going to be put to death. Nobody's scared if I break in your house, I'm going to have to pay back double or become a slave to pay you. Nobody's scared that if I rape somebody, I'm going to be put to death. Nobody's scared that if I go live with this man's wife, that the civil government is going to put me and her to death if we and her breaking and doing adultery. Nobody's scared. So what you doing in your proper worship, you have people that don't care about God's law telling you, God loves everybody. God has unconditional love. That's a damnable lie. You would never have to repent if God had unconditional love. Mm-hmm. Never, ever, ever have to repent. And you wouldn't have to do 1 John 1:9, where it says, if we confess our sins, he is faithful, and you don't have to confess nothing. If God has unconditional love, you should be able to blaspheme against the Holy Spirit. Too many things what the Bible has told me. I read it. I ain't making it up. Like Josiah did one time. Read some more of that, because I want to get this. Do that which is good, or wilt thou be not afraid of the power? We're not afraid of the power, and I'm going to call a name. That's why Hillary Clinton get away with what she's done, because our civil magistrate and justice is not right. That's why men can go and sell our stuff. That's why presidents can do wrong. That's why they can go and have sex with interns that other people can't. That's why mayors can steal money from people. Pastors can lay up with people and boys in the church. That's why daddies can go and cheat on their wife, and sons and daughters can be disobedient and hit their parents and nothing happen. Because we don't understand that God has set up civil magistrates, and God has set up his laws and justice so that proper worship can be done, especially in the home. In the home, the parent, the father, hear me, young people, the father and the mother is the civil magistrate. They are the king in the home, whether they do what God say or not. Their job is to do what God say and enforce it. When they don't, they turn into a beast. When God turned Nebuchadnezzar into a beast, that's what happened when civil magistrates forget or don't know that God has set them up to do good. They become self-empowered and they start doing tyranny on the people. You're supposed to be doing tyranny to the wicked, to the ones that's doing the violence and the aggression. But you should be like an angel, a guardian angel to those that are doing righteously. Are we in the word of God right now? Yes. Blessed is everlasting name that sit between the cherubim. Read the next verse.
For he is the minister of God to thee for good. But if thou do that which is evil, be afraid, for he bears not the sword in vain.
Be afraid, he don't have that pistol in vain. They had a sword then to kill you with. Now we have pistols and we have electric chair. Look, he does not bear God's symbol of justice. If you don't understand God's symbol of justice, you don't understand Genesis 3. When God put Adam and Eve out, he put cherubim there with flaming what? To let them know what is happening to you spiritually will happen to you physically. Do you think that those angels really needed flaming swords? Come on now. If you know anything about the Bible, one angel killed 185,000 men in one night. They didn't need the sword. The sword was going to let you know in the future when he's talking about the sword of the Lord, you understand that this is coming from God. It didn't say the sword of the angels did it. Now, we need that last verse read, verse 4.
For he is the minister of God to thee for good. But if thou do that which is evil, be afraid.
We ain't afraid of the police when we do wrong. We'll just petition. We'll just march around, but God's watching. See, God is, and man is not the one that set up civil magistrates. Man is the one that co-opt. What I mean by co-opt, Josiah, when God had put a rainbow in the sky, that was a sign of a covenant. There are people that are homosexual, men that lay with men, women that lay with men, and whatever kind of ungodliness they want to do. A lot of times they like to pick on little children too. They want to call them pedophiles, same kind of mess. They took the rainbow and said it means homosex. But that ain't what God said it meant. That's what co-opting means. Sometimes boys, they want to co-opt being a girl, but they still a boy. Or girls want to co-opt being a boy. In other words, I want to change what really is. So, that's what happened in magistrates or civil government. They co-opt the good they're supposed to do, and then they terrorize the good people. Like the United States government, they sent out a militaristic, like a military IRS on people that wasn't doing right. I mean, wrong, wicked, ungodly. But I ain't going to preach about the United States government right now. What else it say? It say, be afraid, for he beareth not the sword in vain. He is the minister and what?
He is the minister of God, a revenger to execute wrath upon him that does evil.
When you love that, Brother Wayman, if somebody went and tried to molest your child or hit your child, that you didn't have to do anything about it, that here comes God's civil magistrate. What did you do? Once it's proven, he executes God's judgment, whether it's put them to death or beat them. They wasn't going to jail. They didn't go to jail, let you get raped, and then you get fed by everybody. We dealt with it. You either put to death or you're going to pay a fine. And the fine was to you, not to the state and not to the government. So Psalms 21, when you see this with that background in your mind, the sweetness of this is that to the chief musician, I want people to be able to sing this. The king shall joy in thy strength, O Lord. When I come to execute God's judgment, the king, he's rejoicing in God's strength. Do you remember one time David was rejoicing in God's strength? They said, what do you come at me like somebody looking at a little dog with a stick? He said, wait a minute, partner. That ain't how we doing this. You come to me with all this sword and spear, but I came to you in the name of the living God, and God let him kill him, huh? So he joyed in God's strength. He didn't say it's because I'm good with this sling. So I come to you in the, you are an uncircumcised lip Philistine. I wonder how big his lips had to be. I mean, anyway. It says, the king shall joy in thy strength and thy salvation. The Hebrew word behind salvation is Yeshua. Understand, these Psalms are actually talking about Christ. It starts with David, but in 1 Peter 1 and 10, it says the Spirit of Christ was speaking through these people. He shall rejoice in your Yeshua, your salvation. How greatly shall he rejoice? Psalm 19 says what? It tells you that the statutes of the Lord rejoice the heart. So you're not going out here executing judgment on what you think because you don't like him, because he got a different color, because he stinks. Oh, he's on the wrong side of town. You're executing judgment according to God's statutes. God back you up, and the king rejoices in it. Isn't this pretty? Next verse. Thou hast given, listen, thou hast given him his heart's desire and have not withholding a request of his lips. Understand, when you're a king, which we come with David right now before we go to Christ, if David had any influence on Solomon, and he was telling Solomon what to do whenever Solomon got to be a king, in 1 Kings chapter 3, we see that Solomon prayed and asked God for a wise and a discerning heart to judge his people. It didn't say so he could ride around on the greatest chariot, have gold and women, and have all the women that he ended up getting. It was to judge his people. That was the job of the king. Why do you think that God in 1 Samuel chapter 10 had Saul to have to go fight Nahash and to fight the Ammonites? And what you said it's 11, 10 or 11, read it all. And then on top of it's because it's good for you. It's good to read the Bible. And then we see that David fought the wars of who? The Lord. We supposed to be fighting the wars of the Lord right now. Did you know that? Did you know that, Rocio? I keep saying these names wrong, but I know what I'm talking about. It starts with a C. 2 Corinthians 10 and 4. It says, the weapon of our warfare is not carnal. It's mighty through God to pulling down strongholds. Why do you think the Bible says in Ephesians chapter 6 that we don't wrestle against flesh and blood? But people are doing it. The flesh and blood are doing it. But it's somebody behind them. We're in war. And war is in your house every day. From the music to the TV, when you send your kids out to school, they're like, you send your kids out to school and they catch the flu from somebody, they get lice from somebody, they get strep throat from somebody, they also get different kind of ideas about life, learning stuff that you hadn't taught them, things about sexuality that they really shouldn't be hearing, things about parents, things about God that they shouldn't hear, because our civil government don't uphold God's law so we can do proper worship. What they want to do is they want you to uphold their law so that you'll worship them properly. You better hear me, because people do worship the state. They just don't call it that. They give you a check if you don't work. They give you what they call welfare, food stamps, all of that. They give you money back if you didn't pay any money in on your taxes. They get you to worship them by giving you something. Then they take something from you. Then they'll give you a doggone Obama phone, and they can listen to what you're saying on your phone. They can listen to other people. They give you a phone so that we can track you, and you still go get it. I don't understand stuff. Then they go to your school and teach your children how to think you stupid when they come home, and they're not that brilliant. They hadn't read another book when they were at home. You know it. They play video games a lot of the times. It says, thou hast given the king his heart's desire, the desires to rule your people properly. Thou hast not withholding the request of his lips. That's the reason that I brought that up. Then it says, you prevent us. That's an archaic word. You go before, you prevent him with blessings and goodness. Well, somebody in a different version, what's that word prevent us, Rich, in NASB? You read NASB.
What verse?
Verse number 3. And so I'm going to click it open. I'm going to have it open next time I look at a verse. I guarantee you that. Because I know the word means that you precede. Because the archaic word is pre, which means before. So you meet together. In other words, you make it like a marriage.
You meet.
That's because what has happened is you already there. You already bringing it. And so I just wanted to bring that up because sometimes we think of prevent me. I don't let you get it.
Yeah.
and I wanted to bring that out. With blessing and goodness, you set a crown of pure gold on his head. That's the reason for me bringing out Daniel. That's the reason for me showing Nebuchadnezzar. That is God, the one that sets up people. Now, we know the life of David. Nobody wanted David. Can you imagine being David, Elijah? Yet you have seven other brothers, and here come the prophet Samuel to your house. He's going to anoint somebody to be king. I'm talking about king of the nation. And your daddy has everybody in there except you. He don't even let you. I'm so sure it's not you. You ain't that much. You out there with those few little sheep. And then when he gets ready to pour the anointing oil, it won't come out. No, it wouldn't even drip like, oh, that's condensate. It wouldn't even drip. But then he says, is this all the sons you have? I have one more, but it's just David. Yeah, I mean, he out there with bring him in. We're not going to sit down and eat anything till I see. And then when he started to pour it, riches started running down. The point that I'm saying is God showed even in that, I select king. I'm the one set him up to be my magistrate. And if you understand anything about the life of David, one of the first things David had to do was to stop this terrorizing man that had been coming up 40 days. I'm up. Bring me out of man. 40 days, bring me out a man to fight me. You know, all the other people look like this on them. Bring him out. If you can defeat me, we'll be your servants. But if we defeat you, you'll be ours. And all the men, all of them were scared. Probably was a Sharman night. They were scared. But then David. Well, if you never had a dog that was scared, Naomi, I have. When a dog is scared of another dog fighting, if you lift up their tail, you're going to find something under that tail, okay? I'm just telling what I experienced. All of the men were scared. But here David said, what is this? What's all of this going on? And the rest of the story was they made fun of him, they mocked him, etc. And David was the one that went out and fought him. Here, and we look at this particular passage here in the Psalms, we see that God said, look, you've given him desire. You have not withholding request of his lips. You gave him blessing, and you set the crown of gold on his head to do my will. He asked of life, and thou gavest him. In other words, you gave him the opportunity to live. Bro Wayman, your 30 minutes is up if you need to make your departure. I didn't want to let you know I was watching for you. And it says, he asked the life of thee and thou gavest. He asked God for life, longer life. God granted it to him. Then it says, even length of days, he gave him extra. His glory is great in thy salvation. How many of us glory in who we are? How many of us glory because, you know, I'm smart. I got a bank account. I got a good job. I'm physically capable of knocking somebody out. Or, you know, I got friends. Here's this man is the king. He got a great job to do, and look at where his glory is great in thy salvation. We gotta learn to trust God. I watched my daddy go to the place where he died, and I know for a fact my daddy was a very strong man in his youth. I remember when I was working out, lifting and all this, and I showed him I could pick him up, and I was proud, boy, like, I could pick you up, Daddy, because he was a big old man. Then he reached down with one arm. And I'm weighing 225, and then picked me up like I pick up Josiah, with maybe even less effort. You remember him when he was bad like that? Here's the thing. If you glory in your physicality and you glory in your strength, the Bible say that grass withers and the flower, but guess what endures forever? The word of our God endures forever. And it says here, it says his glory is great in thy salvation, honor and majesty are laid upon him. It's an honorable position to be a parent, to be a father, to be an aunt, to be HR, to be a civil magistrate where you have to execute judgment to make sure God's righteous judgment is done in the home, in the community, in the land, wherever. Glory and honor. That's a glory. That's the don't abuse it. because you're still answerable to somebody. That's why when I got married, it's like I took the role that I took. And in taking the role that that means I had new hats to wear, and every one of them I'm judged by. Many of men that are supposed to be daddies, when they stand before God in judgment, you failed. You did not orchestrate God's civil justice in the home. You let one child beat up the other one. You didn't teach your child about me, and you brought this child in the world and didn't ask to come. And that this child going before me ain't gonna be damned forever because of you. Because you thought having a little bit of fun was okay. Well, she's pregnant. I'll just pay it. It's more than paying it. It's doing what God say, because you in the position of authority, so much so that a child is supposed to be put to death if he ever strikes his father or mother. Matthew chapter 15. They talk about that in the Old Testament. Matthew, it ain't no Old Testament in my Bible. I mean, there is a book to start with an M. It's called Malachi, but it's not Matthew. I can't read. This says, for the king trusteth in the Lord. This is where his strength comes from. And it says, thine hand shall find out all thine enemies. Remember, he is coming. He's an avenger. He's a revenger for those that have done wickedly, for those that have hurt people, those that are enemies of the Lord. Look at him. David says, thine hand, you Lord, you will find out all the enemies. Your right hand shall find out those that hate thee. Thou shalt make them as a fiery oven in the time of thine anger. In other words, Lord, I'll execute judgment. I'll do exactly what you say. The judgment of God is not based on pity. The judgment of God is based on what is right. The Bible says, is it 25 and 10? Well, it says the tender mercies of the wicked are cruel. The NASB said the compassion of the wicked is cruel. It's not 25 and 10. Try 12 and 10. It's in Proverbs 2 as well. That's what I'm talking about. But it says, thine hand shall find out all thine enemies. Thy right hand shall find out those that hate thee. Thou shalt make them as a fiery oven in the time of thine anger. The Lord shall swallow them up in thy wrath, and thy fire shall deliver them, devour them. Thank you, Drew. I'm glad you're with me. I want you to see how God deals with the enemies. This is very important. It's 12 and 10. Okay. I want you to please listen to this if you don't listen to anything else. This is about abortion. This is about killing babies in the womb. This is what a lot of black males do. They kill their babies. Margaret Sanger helped teach it. But I want you to see how this passage shows you that a civil magistrate should never allow this to happen. Now let's go to Ezekiel chapter 16 and 20. I want you to see how God feel about you killing your children. It's wicked, it's ungodly, and God cannot stand it. I want to prep you for it. That's why I'm telling you what I'm going to be talking about. What does it say in Ezekiel?
Moreover, thou hast taken thy sons and thy daughters, whom thou hast born unto me, and these hast thou sacrificed unto them to be devoured. Is this of thy whoredoms a small matter, that thou hast slain my children?
Whose children?
My children, and delivered them to cause them to pass through the fire for them?
Let me tell you, this is the problem in America. They want to talk about a Holocaust over there in Europe, where you have people that are Ashkenazis. They claim that they are Jews, but most of them out here don't say that they are Hebrews. But you got people over here in America that's killing millions of babies a year, and people that call themselves Black or African American, Hebrew, Israelite, or whatever you want to call yourself over here, and you're killing your babies in the womb, so many million, I think it may be 23 million. And these are God's children. They're not God's children because you are righteous. They're not God's children because you're holy. But they come into this world and they're supposed to have somebody in the civil government that will protect them, because I set up the order of civil government. But let me tell you what happens. I want you to understand how God works. When your civil government will not do what's necessary so you can worship God properly, God will let your sins find you out. There was a time when the children of Israel complaining that God didn't give them meat, and God got angry and gave them a whole lot of quail to eat. Now, that's a delicacy. And the Bible said they ate it and they had so much it rotted in their teeth. Okay? Now look, I want you to look at this verse again. Read this 10th verse again after God said he's going to execute wrath. It's very important.
21 and 10,
I'm sorry. Their fruit.
Their fruit shall thou destroy from the earth, and their seed from among the children of men.
Look at the people that kill their babies. Look at the Hollywood people. Look at your people that are in government, senators, congressmen, people that march for pro, what they call it, pro-choice. Mm-hmm. They kill their babies. They cut off wickedness. Do you understand that these people that march and love abortion and love killing the babies and want us to kill our babies, they are killing their own seed? What if those wicked children, what those children were to live, and their parents that believe in death, homosexuality, murder, disloyalty to other people, had their children still live? God has put the seed within their own wickedness to destroy themselves. How many more people, if they had never been abortion for the last 30 years, that hate God if their children had lived? How much more wicked would this world be? If the people that have killed their babies in abortion in the last 20 years had not killed those children, and those children had grown up, how much more wicked would this world be? Because you teach your children what you are. That doesn't mean that we want abortion. But when mankind will not do what God wants for righteous judgment, God has a way of doing it himself. And then, back in Ezekiel, his people started imitating the ungodly, giving their children to the fire. We as black people that at one time, if you wanted real spirituality, if you wanted children that would obey their parents, we were the people that had good families. We were the people that loved each other. And we've learned to kill our own children. Now we don't even have to have children. You're more likely as a black man to be shot by another black man than by anybody else. What is this? Civil government is not obeying the laws of God and protecting the innocent and becoming a terror to the criminals. Psalm 21, this king, I want to do your will, Lord. I love you, Lord. I rejoice in your statutes. I will go and find, because I'm trusting you, the enemies, your enemies, and I'll deal with them. Do you like that? Do you see how this thing works? Do you see how beautiful the word of God is? It says, they intended evil against thee, but they imagined a mischievous device which they were not able to perform. Therefore, thou shalt make them turn their back. Go to Deuteronomy 7 and 10, because I know where I'm going. Deuteronomy 7 and 10. Therefore, thou shalt make them turn their back when thou make thine arrows ready upon thy strings against the face of them. I want you to understand something. God is saying, y'all want some of me? You want some of me? I ain't got to throw nothing down from heaven. I ain't got to get you behind your back, because I'm me. What say in Deuteronomy 7 and 10, how God deal with his enemies? Talk to me. Start at 9 and 10, okay?
Know therefore that the Lord thy God, he is God, the faithful God, which keeps covenant and mercy with them that love him and keep his commandments to 1,000 generations, and repays them that hate him to their face.
Cut their seed off. He cut their seed off, and they'll do it voluntarily. Read some more.
To destroy them. He will not be slack to him that hates him. He will repay him to his face.
Repay him how?
To his face.
Woo! This is Andrew, Rich, Gary, when the civil magistrate will operate like God say, the wicked will be repaid to the face. This is when God is ruling. He repays. You don't have to go and figure out a way to do it, and you risk going to jail, or you risk the government, when it follows God, will repay the wicked to the face. Hallelujah. I love the Lord Jesus. He is so good. He is so good. This is what God is wanting for us. Then it says in verse 13, be exalted, O Yahweh, in thine own strength. And so we sing thy praise and power. David is able to say, Lord, be exalted because you have executed your judgment. You have done what is right. But just for the next 5 minutes, I want you to see the Lord. Let's go back to where we started. I want you to see the Lord. We've seen David. I want you to see the Lord and see us now. He said, the kings will joy in thy strength, O Lord. I want you to understand that Jesus told the people many times in John chapter 8, I don't speak my own words. I speak the words of him that sent me. What does the Bible say? I come in the volume of the book. I come to do thy will, O God. Okay? So we see here the king. I'm talking about the king eternal that goes way past David. He rejoices in the strength of God. In John chapter 5, he said, the works I do is the Father in me doing the work. And in thy salvation, how I greet, he says, how greatly shall he rejoice. You remember he said, I will sing in the midst of your brethren in Hebrews chapter 2. Then it says, you have given him his heart's desire. Did you think I'm making this up as I go? No, he's not saying this. He had said in the 11th chapter of the book of John, Father, you always answer me. But for these, and he prayed that God would raise him from the dead. He always answers him. Why is that? Because this is the way I conduct myself. This is the way that I live. I want you to look at something else in this particular passage where we are. That's good. It says, you have not withholden the request of his lips. All of my prayers are answered. You give me blessings of goodness. You set a crown of gold on my head. Do you understand that the angels came? The heaven were open. And they said, glory to God in the highest. On earth, peace, goodwill toward men, for unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, Christ the Lord. Remember that? But do you remember the men came to Herod and said, where is he that is born the what? King of the Jews. We've come to worship him. Do you understand it? In the second chapter of Philippians, God is the one that highly exalted him. He's still doing the same thing today. And guess what? If we're in him, we're in the position to rule and reign with him. We're supposed to be ruling and reigning with him, but we don't even rule our own minds and consciences. We're still doing dirt. We ought to be past doing the dirt and doing kingdom work by now. What's wrong with us? How long is it going to take for us to make up our mind that we really should serve the Lord? Then it says, he asked for life for thee and thou gavest him. Well, we know he gave it, but the Bible tells us in Romans chapter 1, Jesus Christ is called the Son of God by the resurrection of the dead. Do you all remember that? If you don't, you look at Romans 1, go about 2 through 5. You will see it in there. But then in John chapter 5, he says, the Father has life. He's given the Son to have life, that he gives life to whomsoever he will. It's in John 5. Then it says here, his glory is great in thy salvation, for thou hast made me, it's an honor and majesty. First of all, let's not skip that. John 5, Jesus said, if you don't honor the Father, you don't honor me. If you honor me, you honor the Father. That's what it boils down to. It's been given that those that honor me, honor the Father. You don't come to the Father but by me. This is the point that I'm making here is that Jesus is the civil government, the civil ruler of all. We think of him as just religious. But didn't we go through the book of the Revelation? It said, thou hast made him exceeding glad with his countenance. I want to tell you, I was going to read it to you, but in John chapter 1, the word that's with, where it says, in the beginning was the word was with God, and the word was God. The Greek word there is pros. That means toward. He was already beholding his face. 17th chapter of John, I believe, is the 5th verse. He said he wanted the glory that he had with him before the world was. So Jesus actually gets to be with his countenance. And there is something especially great that I want us to see. Revelation 23 and 3. Look at 22 and 3. I ain't no Revelation 23. Believe that. Revelation 22 and 3. I want you to see Jesus enjoyed the presence of God's face. David was enjoying the presence because that word countenance, the word there is penim, which is face. What does it say?
And there shall be no more curse, But the throne of God and of the Lamb shall be in it.
And
his servants shall serve him.
What else?
And they shall see his face.
This passage, we're supposed to be doing God's civil work. No, we're not the one to execute the physical judgment unless our family's in danger or something like that. But our words are supposed to be speaking God's truth. The civil government is supposed to be set up to make it easier to do proper worship. I will show you one other thing to tell us that the Bible said we'll see his face. Rich loved this scripture, 1 Corinthians 13 and 12, where it says, for we see through glass darkly. But then face to face, know I am part, but then shall I know even as I'm known. There's something about the child of God that works with the Lord Jesus that gets to be face to face with him. Would you like that, Naomi? Face to face with somebody that loves you more than your daddy. Face to face with somebody that's greater than your daddy. Face to face with the one that caused you to be able to breathe and walk and live. That's the Lord Jesus. So he says, for thy king trusteth in him. Hebrews 5 and 7, if you want to write it down, it talks about Jesus, who in the days of his flesh, when he had offered up prayers and supplication with strong crying and tears, unto him that was able to save him from death and was heard in it he feared. He trusted in God. You remember, because that's what they made fun of him for. He trusted in God. Let God save him now. He up there on the cross. He been beat all night. He butt naked. We can see everything. Where is his God now? He be the Son of God. Come down. Oh, but you don't know the rest of the story. But there was one guy say, you running your mouth, you need to shut up. But we guilty, and he's not. Well, I mean, it's not exactly said like that, but that man ended up in paradise while the other man ended up in Hades, hell. How do you know, Tim? Because I know what the Bible say. It's a beautiful thing, Tim. When you know what the Bible say, you can talk, and you know what you're saying is right. Then it says, listen to this, and through the mercy of the Most High, El Elyon, Most High. Did you notice that it said when I was in Daniel, the Most High sets up? In other words, all these things that are called gods, all these Elohim, all of these governments, there is one that is called the Most High. That's the one that's spoken about in Daniel. Here's the one that he trusts in, the Most High. And guess what? He won't be moved. That word mercy there is hesed, loving kindness. We're almost through now. Check this part out. Thine hand shall find out thine enemies. Yes. Thy right hand shall find out those that hate thee. Thou shalt make them as a fiery oven. Go to Revelation chapter 19. I want you to see the fulfillment of this. Revelation 19 and 10. I'm just going to show you this talking about Jesus. Read till I tell you to stop. It's going to be beautiful. It's going to be good.
And I fell at his feet to worship him. And he said unto me, see thou do it not. I am thy fellow servant and of thy brethren that have the testimony of Jesus. Worship God, for the testimony of Jesus is the spirit of prophecy.
What we read here in Psalms 21, it's the testimony of Jesus. David was talking, David only got it in part. But you want to see the real deal. It's Jesus. Read some more.
And I saw heaven open. And behold, a white horse, and he that sat upon him was called Faithful and True. And in righteousness he doth judge and make war. His eyes were as a flame of fire, and on his head were many crowns. And he had a name written that no man knew but he himself.
Pause that. I just want you to know he makes war. He comes to fight. He's going to execute the judgment. People thought that they got away with killing, murdering, raping, making slaves, hanging them, getting away with it, taking land from people, doing stuff in other countries. They thought that they were going to get away with it. But no, because you got to walk through the valley of the shadow of death, and you're going to stand before God in judgment, and he is going to orchestrate the judgment that God said. And I want you to read that 15th verse, because I'm telling you that the sword of the Lord and the sword that he bear is not in vain, and it hasn't disappeared. Verse 15, what does Jesus have?
And out of his mouth goes a sharp sword, that with it he should smite the nations, and he shall rule them with a rod of iron, and he treads the winepress of the fierceness and wrath of Almighty God. And he has on his vesture and on his thigh a name written, King of Kings,
Magistrate of Magistrates, King of Kings. This is the one that's going to ensure proper worship. We know that one day when he executes the full and the fullness and the totality of his judgment, we're going to be able to enjoy God to the fullest. No more sin, no more death, no more pain, no more lies, no more presidents telling you something, no more governors telling you something, no more guys on the street leading you from God. We're going to be able to walk in the newness of life. Hallelujah. Bless his everlasting name. And he still has that sword of the Lord. It comes from his mouth, which means his word has got that kind of power, just like a sword to devour. I'm talking about, this is what I do this for. I don't just do this because I want to run my mouth. I do this because I owe him. He's my king. If he's not my king, either my passions will be my king, my feelings will be my king, the black culture or the American culture or some governmental official. I'd rather have the King of Kings and Lord of Lords who's going to judge the quick and the dead at his appearing in kingdom. Bless his everlasting name that sit between the cherubim. And then as you see this, it says in that 12th verse, and it's very important. This don't skip the fiery oven. Verse 9, where it says, thou shalt make them as a fiery oven. Let's see if the Bible say that that is true. Dre, if you go down to the, I stopped you at the 15th verse. Look at the 18th verse.
That ye may eat the flesh of kings and the flesh of captains and the flesh of mighty men and the flesh of horses and of them that sit on them and the flesh of all men, both free and bond, both small and great.
What happened to them in verse 20? And the beast was taken.
And the beast was taken, and with him the false prophet that wrought miracles before him, with which he deceived them that had received the mark of the beast, and them that worshipped his image. These both were cast alive into a lake of fire burning with brimstone. And the remnant were slain with the sword of him that sat upon the horse, which sword proceeded out of his mouth. And all the fowls were filled with their flesh.
I'm going to just tell you now, a lot of this was fulfilled in 70 AD, but there's a fulfillment that's even going to be greater than this. And Jesus is going to judge. He's going to execute his judgment because mankind did not fulfill the civil judgment or his place of, you know, being the civil government and make it a proper place to worship. God is going to fulfill that himself. Go to Revelation 11 and 16. And where I'm coming from, the reason that I had you to bring this is that it's important for us to see that when he says, be thou exalted, O Lord. Let's see the Lord exalted.
And the 24 elders, which sat before God on their seats, fell upon their faces and worshiped God, saying, we give thee thanks, O Lord God Almighty, which art and was and art to come, because thou hast taken to thee thy great power and has reigned.
You did what was necessary because you ordained the power. Who do you think ordained the Lord Jesus to rule? Do you think that every other civil magistrate was to rule and make judgment and make people do right and execute those that didn't? And the Lord Jesus will be like some little dude that looked like he a homosexual and got long stringy hair and they supposed to execute God's judgment? That's not the Jesus of the Bible. That's somebody else, or somebody might have taken one of those Roman pictures or one of those Roman brothels or somewhere where that place that got blew up in the sediment came. Pompeii? You know when Pompeii got by that was it Vesuvius?
Right, yeah.
That ain't Jesus. He ain't soft like that. He's not effeminate. That's the King of Kings. I don't serve no mess like that. I serve the Lord. And when he come to execute judgment, with what he gonna do? Be thou exalted, O Lord, in thine own strength. So will we sing thy praise. Listen to this. Three, go to Revelation 15 and 3. We want to talk about singing his praise, and that's it. But I'm going to read Psalm 58 and 10. Listen to what the Bible says. The righteous shall rejoice when he seeth the vengeance. He will wash his feet in the blood of the wicked. When the king, when the civil magistrate, when he rules and does things according to God's law and protects the innocent and defends the babies and defends the fatherless and defends the widows and defends the children, the people will rejoice when God executes his judgment on the predators. Yes. And I have no pity. What does it say in Revelation 15 and 3, Dree?
And they sing the song of Moses, the servant of God, and the song of the Lamb, saying, great and marvelous are thy works, Lord God Almighty. Just and true are thy ways, thou King of saints. Who shall not fear thee, O Lord, and glorify thy name? For thou only art holy, for all nations shall come and worship before thee. For thy judgments are made manifest.
It's known in the world. People just act like we don't have to do what God says, or they get away with mess. Last one to read, Dree. Revelation 18 and 20. The thing is when he come back to execute judgment, it's because mankind did not fulfill what was done in what was said in Romans 13. They were supposed to be ordained to be in the position of executing God's judgment. We have a government that doesn't do it. We have parents that don't do it. Grandparents. You have parents that, when somebody correct their child, they get mad at you, and you're trying to help them. That's right. Lord have mercy. Read that last verse, Reed, so I can open up discussion. Revelation 18 and 20, please.
Rejoice over her, thou heaven, and ye holy apostles and prophets, for God has avenged you on her.
Now, those that have gone with us through the book of the Revelation, we know God judged the whore. America has turned into a whore. Most nations have turned into a whore that they have ever known God before. They turn away from him. They turn to other things. Many of us have turned from God to what is called popular church. We better get back to the Bible. We better get back, because I'm telling you now, whether you know it or not, God gives magistrates or kings or people in authority for proper worship. Let me break it down so you can take this with you. If a parent is in a position of being king, a magistrate, being judge in the home, being lord in the home, if he does like what God says, he'll teach his child right, the child can worship God properly. If your city, your county, and state will uphold God's law, it makes it easy to worship. You don't have all the sorrows you would have. When your what you call federal government, state government does what God said, you don't have police brutality. You don't have senatorial brutality. See, they talk about police brutality. What about senatorial brutality? What about congressional brutality? What about when you take people's taxes and you raise it up and you confiscate and you steal from people? Oh, because you didn't go shoot them? You don't call it brutality? When you make laws and kill babies and you kill people when they get old, I submit to you that this psalm here is a blessed psalm because it can truly be fulfilled by Jesus. Yes, David had his portion to play, but we're supposed to be the body of Christ. Do we trust in the Lord? Do we find out the enemy's in our home? Do we really find out the enemies in our home, on TV, the music we listen to, and we deal with it? Or we say, that's just what's on TV. I got to watch it. You're telling a lie. Do you find out the enemies in the school that teaching your children to disrespect you and telling you to send your kid away to another state where you're not, and let your child go and do all kind of dirt and then come back home and you got to feed him? What? We better understand God gives civil magistrates or people in authority to execute his judgments so that there can be proper worship. Let me pray. Father, I thank you for having the wisdom to set up order and to set up people that can enforce your righteous will. Help us to have the mindset to trust you and fulfill our role as parents, as offspring, as brothers and sisters, so that your name will be glorified and magnified in the earth. We ask you to take and look upon our Senate, our Congress, our President, our governors, our mayors, etc., those that hate you and don't love you. I ask you to give them a mindset, whether you have to give them strokes, cancer, diabetes, or they just hear your word, that whatever it takes for them to put you in the mindset of what they're doing when they try to rule over people, so that they won't be a terror to good works, but only to the evil. I ask this in the blessed name of your holy child, Jesus Christ, the righteous one. Amen, amen, and amen.